Chapter 5, www.ineedtobehomeschooled.com. Kick, kick. Thank goodness for Tammy. If she weren't sitting next to me, I would definitely have to transfer. The last 2 days went by too quickly. Why do good things disappear so fast? Vacation, money, ice cream. The two of us are sitting on the right side of the auditorium, in the fifth row. I warned Tammy that her proximity to me would contaminate her social status, but she was convinced that, after a week and a half, the fashion show clique would have forgotten all about me. Teen years are like dog years. 13 days translates into 13 months. As always, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is they have not forgotten. London Zeal is kicking my chair. Yes, London and her posse of slick A-list seniors followed me to my seat so they could sit behind me and harass my back with their pointy-toed boots. Very mature, no? I'm pretending to ignore them. The other bad news is that the entire school has a lingering smell of cow excrement. The good news is that my beard is gone. Since I very cleverly hid it under my turtleneck on Monday, no one ever knew it was there. And now, it's as if it never happened. Kick. Kick. If the auditorium didn't have built-in seats, my chair would have been jolted across the room by now. Kick. Kick. She's making me wish I had broken both her legs. Tammy yawns. You sound tired, I say. You're not, right?
Nope.
And your throat doesn't hurt? Swollen glands are another sign of mono.
Nope. Poor Aaron has mono. Not me.
We are both in denial. Tammy fell asleep on my couch again yesterday. But I cannot bear to be at school without her. Kick, kick, kick. Enough. I spin to face my nemesis. Yes, London? Her good leg is raised in mid-kick.
If it isn't Rochelle Weiner, she says.
It's Rachel Weinstein, I say. Can I help you? What does she want from me? One of my good legs? I already told her I was sorry.
I'm surprised to see you.
I do go to school here.
Yes, but it won't be a pleasant few months for you. I can promise you that. You may want to transfer. Unless you're enjoying all the coverage.
The fashion show lackeys beside her giggle. What is she talking about? What does she mean by coverage? I look at Tammy for an explanation, but she's sound asleep. I have no retort, so I spin back to the front. How did I manage to get the most popular girl in the school to hate me? On stage, Mrs. Conch, Vice Principal Earls, and Will Kazravi, Raff's brother and the student council president, are huddled together. Then Mr. Earls clears his throat into the microphone. London kicks my chair again. I nudge Tammy with my elbow. You okay? Her eyes pop open.
I'm not tired.
Mrs. Conch takes the microphone.
I wish we could welcome you back under happier circumstances, but unfortunately, the school was a victim of a terrible prank.
She glowers at the rows and rows of students.
We are currently investigating who is to blame. If anyone has any information, there will be a reward. And for those of you responsible, punishment will be less stringent if you turn yourselves in.
I slither in my seat. Kick.
The animals, she says,
frowning as snickers wave through the rows,
have caused severe damage to the gym floor.
They have?
As well as damage to the 10 classrooms neighboring the gym, the changing rooms.
Those two?
And the cafeteria.
Stupid hyperactive cows.
We will have to undergo a few changes, she continues. First, all gym classes will now be held outside, so please dress appropriately. Second, until the classrooms are repaired, some freshman classes will be doubled up. Check the revised class schedules on the activities board. Finally, the library will be open for lunch.
Would you like some fries with that, Shakespeare?
Maybe Raph will be in some of my classes.
Kick, snore, groan.
Just my luck. Instead of getting doubled up with Raph's homeroom, I get Melissa and Jules. I pull a groggy Tammy into the back row. As I'm about to sit down, Melissa slides into my seat. I lunge for the desk in front of her.
"Saved for Dory,"
Melissa says. I point to the empty desk beside her. "And that?" Jewel slides into the chair with a shrug. My stomach sinks. Not that I expected her to help me out. At this late stage in the game, only one empty seat remains. It's by the window, so I sit Tammy in it. Perhaps the fresh air will keep her awake, and crouch down beside her on the cold, hard linoleum. By the time I look up, Tammy's cheek is already flat on her desk, which leaves me with no one to talk to. Dory Mattson, by far the most annoying of all the A-list freshman girls, mostly because she thinks she's smart and never stops talking in class, sashays into the room.
"Hello, darling,"
she sings to Melissa as she sits in the saved chair. Janice Cooper, a friend of Tammy's, sits on the floor beside me.
"I am so sorry,"
she says in a very serious voice.
"How are you dealing?"
"Sorry about what?" I ask cluelessly. She stares at me.
"That you were added."
"What is she talking about?"
"To what?"
Instead of looking at me, she fidgets with the gold barrette in her long brown hair.
"You haven't seen?"
"Seen what?" Panic is taking hold like a straitjacket.
"Oh, you know, never mind."
She flushes and looks down at her book. This is bad news. Cockroach in the bathroom bad. I stretch upward and shake Tammy's arm and try to keep my voice down.
"What's going on?"
Tammy opens her eyes.
"Not tired. What have I not seen?"
I whisper. She reddens and snaps to attention.
"Oh, Rachel, I'm trying to find someone to take it down.
Has something been written about me on the bathroom walls? My bra been hung up on the flagpole?"
"Take what down?" "Your picture on the Freaks website."
"What?" I shriek. "I didn't even know there was a Freaks website." Tammy leans down toward me and whispers,
"Rachel, I'm so sorry. I didn't see any point in telling you since I knew it would just freak you. I mean, upset you. It's a stupid thing started by some of the senior girls. Aaron told me about it, and I've already spoken to Mrs. Conch, demanding that the site be taken down, but I guess the administration is too busy with the cow stuff to do anything right now."
I think I might hyperventilate.
"What does this website say?"
I whisper.
"You don't want to know. But don't worry. We'll get it deleted."
"I'd like to get myself deleted." The day goes from very bad to very worse. Our math class isn't doubled because we're advanced, but Hayward gives us a pop quiz, which I completely fail because I can't concentrate. And I've never failed a math test in my life. Math is my thing. I swear I'm not being conceited, but some people have even called me a math genius. During the quiz, though, I can barely remember what a polynomial is because all I can think about is getting online. And then Jewel, Melissa, and Dory are also in my bio class, something I would have loved a month ago. But now I just want to knock them over the head with my beaker. I spot Raph as he's about to leave for lunch. His dark hair is curling over his eye. He slips his arm into his leather jacket. I need an icebreaker, something that can lead to real conversation.
"So, how about those Mets? Sunny out, isn't it? Come here often?" I could tell him that he dropped a glove at my apartment, but then I'd have to give it back. And then what would I sniff when I miss him? I'll just apologize. I take a deep breath, as if I'm about to dive underwater, and then I walk straight over to him and say, "Hi." He zips up his jacket without making eye contact.
"Hey.
How was New Orleans?"
"Fine."
"Did you have shrimp? I heard the seafood there is supposed to be, amazing. Was it? Is it Mardi Gras this time of year? No, wait, it's in February, or March. I just read something about it in Cosmo. Did you read it? Probably not." My babbling trails off. "Raph, I am so, so sorry that I stood you up for the spring fling." He closes his locker.
"Whatever."
He smells so good. Why was I so stupid? I should have told him that I had my dad's wedding that night. I should have known that he wouldn't care that I screwed up the show. I should have trusted him. I lean against the neighboring locker. "No, really. I thought that you would never want to be seen in public with me after what happened at the fashion show."
"Why would I care about what happened at the show?"
"Because I made a fool of myself." I keep my eyes on the floor.
"So?"
"I was kind of hoping for a no, you didn't." I look up and realize he's looking right at me. I meet his dark brown eyes. "So, I thought you'd cancel." There is green in his eyes, too. Emerald speckles I never noticed before.
"Listen," he says, "I couldn't care less about a stupid show. But it's too bad you think I'm so superficial that I care about what other people say. Plus," he continues, "the whole wedding thing was weird. Why did you say yes to being my date? You must have known your dad's wedding was on the same night."
"Well, I didn't think the wedding..." My voice trails off. Explaining that I was trying to cancel my dad's wedding will make me look even more psycho. "I'm sorry," is all I can manage.
"Whatever,"
he says again.
"See ya."
And with a shrug, he takes off down the hallway. Ouch. It's so unfair. Doesn't he know that I would have given my molars as well as my eye teeth to go to spring fling with him? I've missed 3 of JFK's dances, fall ball, winter mixer, and now spring fling. Since prom is exclusively for seniors and their dates, I will officially be the only person in the entire school not to go to one single dance in a given year. Not that I know how to dance, but that doesn't mean I don't really, really want to go. Tammy slides up beside me and puts her arm around my shoulders. "Want to go out for lunch?" I nod without saying a word. I finally get online during 7th period when we have computers. Since we pick our own stations, I arrive extra early to get the window seat way in the back. At least this class isn't doubled up. Tammy sits next to me. "I don't think you should look," she says, resting her head on her hand. "I don't want to see it again." "Well, you don't have to sit next to me if you don't want to. In fact, you shouldn't get this close to anyone since you have mono. And I have social leprosy. Now, what's the name of the website?" She types it in for me. "Maybe it isn't about me. Maybe it's about a girl who just looks like me. My doppelganger. In Russia." And that's when a close-up image of me and my beard fills the screen. Okay, it's not just me. There are other people on the screen, too. About 10 or so additional students unfortunate enough to have made it onto this site. There is also the heading, "The Freaks of JFK High." But I can't breathe. My beard is on the web, and here I thought I concealed it so well. There is also a picture of my tripping over the bike rack. I guess that light I saw was a flash. "Don't look up," Tammy says. So of course I do. London is standing at the door, all in white, smirking. I thought, it can't get worse than Thursday. How could it ever get worse than Thursday? It gets worse on Friday.
I'm sick,
Tammy says via the traitorous telephone receiver. I'm going to pretend you didn't say that.
I have a doctor's appointment this morning. My throat is burning.
No. No, no. You're not sick. Mind over matter.
I'm so sorry.
I can't believe she's making me go to school by myself when I'm the star of the freak website. And it gets worse. I sit on the floor in almost all my classes. Even though I didn't fail my math quiz like I thought I did, Miss Hayward is very concerned by my A- and makes me stay after class. When I'm done, there is a picture of me and my beard glued to my locker. It starts to rain. I have gym outside. JFK's obnoxious gym teacher makes you participate no matter what. Rain? Cramps? Broken leg? Doesn't matter. Yesterday I even saw London in her gym clothes. We play softball, since April is softball month. I drop the ball repeatedly and get very wet. Since I have no one to go out to lunch with, I eat alone in the library. I don't see Raph all day. I spend Friday night alone, definitely not at one of Mick Lloyd's legendary A-list-only parties. I'm so far off the A-list, I'm practically Z-list. On Saturday, I wake up with a miserable cold but no fever, which means, unfortunately, I don't even get to have mono. Since I have no friends, I do nothing but work on assignments and stare at my picture on the freak website. I change the screen whenever my mom or Miri is around. Letting them see what a loser I am is just too humiliating. And Miri is in too good a mood for me to upset her. Because of some chemical in our gym floor, the cows cannot be used for beef production. So Miri called SALA, the Saving the Animals Lives Association, and they raised money to have the cows moved to a refuge in Alabama. Guess they were safer in the gym after all. They will now be able to live long and happy lives. Yay them. I wish I were a cow. On Monday, the lock on my locker doesn't work. Someone had my lock clipped and put on a new one. I have to get the janitor to snap it open. No matter how hard I look, I don't see Raph all day. On Tuesday, I find a caricature of me and my beard in the first, second, and third floor bathrooms, drawn right onto the backs of the stall doors alongside the graffiti. And I'm not saying this because I'm oversensitive, but it so looks more like a caricature of a caveman than one of me. If it weren't accompanied by the slogan, "Rachel Weinstein is a man," I wouldn't even have known it was supposed to be me. I attempt to wipe one off with a cheapo school soap, but it won't budge. The janitor, my new best friend, promises to take care of them over the weekend. I see Raph only once, in the distance, but he doesn't see me. On Wednesday, my gym clothes are stolen. Since we no longer have access to the gym lockers, I leave my jeans, sweater, and shoes in a bag by the bleachers while I'm playing third base. Unfortunately, by the end of the period, the bag, along with my clothes and my sob new shoes, is gone. So I have to wear my smelly gym shoes, a long green t-shirt, and my green gym sweatpants for the rest of the day. And the pants are giving me a wedgie, which I constantly have to stealthily adjust. Okay, fine, pick. Of course, once I'm in my gym clothes, I see Raph every 4 seconds. In the hall, on the stairs, at the water fountain, I can feel him watching me too, staring. Once, he opens his mouth as if to say something, but I quickly duck out of view. I don't need him making fun of me, too. On Thursday, as I walk through the senior hallway on my way to second period, I hear hysterical laughter, and I see a large crowd of students circling London, who is dressed in another all-white outfit. Her arms are shuddering above her head. Her hips are bumping from side to side. Her one good leg is quaking. What's wrong with her?
You look just like her, one of her lackeys shrieks. You're nailing it.
London's nasal voice pierces my eardrums. I call it the Electric Rachel.
Oh, no. Oh, geez. I knew it looked like I was being electrocuted when I danced. I knew it. Mary always told me I wasn't that bad, but this proves it.
Keep your head down and speed up, I tell myself.
There she is!
One of the other lackeys cries as I pass them.
Don't look up. Don't look.
Rochelle, why don't you show us how it's done? London cackles.
Ignore them. Just ignore them. Pretend they don't exist.
Rochelle! I hear her hollering as I turn the corner away from them. By the end of the day, patches of kids all over school are doing the Electric Rachel. In the hallways, in the classrooms, in the library, it's become more popular than the Macarena was. By last period, I can't take it anymore, and I hide in the bathroom. Tears spill over my cheeks as I stare at my bearded self. Okay, I know I deserve some karmic punishment for all the awful things I did last month, but come on. I have no friends except an absentee best friend, Mono now confirmed. The love of my life hates me, and now the entire school is mimicking me? This is too much. And if London can name a dance after me, how come she can never remember my name? Huh? Huh? When I get home, I am beyond depressed. Mom is working late, so I am free to wallow. I lie face down across my floor, letting the pink carpet absorb my frustrated tears. Tigger chooses this moment to sit on my back. The phone rings and rings and rings, and I know it's Tammy calling to check on me, but I can't bear to get up. When Miri gets home from Taekwondo, she picks up Tigger and sits beside me.
Howdy, she says. Why are you lying on the floor?
Though I promised myself I wouldn't, I break down and tell her the whole story, except for the freak website. That was too humiliating. And I wouldn't even care so much, but the fact that Raph doesn't like me anymore is the worst part.
My sister looks horrified, like Tigger just got run over.
What a you-know-what! I hate her!
What can I do to make you feel better?
I turn over and face the ceiling.
Zap them into cats.
Although, they'd probably circle me and scratch me to death. Don't bother. What's the point? There's no point to anything.
I know what will cheer you up.
Miri says, eyes brightening.
Let's do something from the Save the World list we made on vacation.
Why not?
At least I'll have something to do. And I knew she would ask me to help her with the list eventually. Too bad I kind of fell asleep while she was making it. She runs into her room and then returns, waving an article from the New York Times.
I've done some research on number one, helping the homeless. This article is all about the malnutrition of the people living on the streets in Manhattan. I was thinking we could zap up some food to hand out.
All right, I say lifelessly. They can have my dinner. I'm not even hungry. I didn't have lunch today. The library was packed, so I hid in the bathroom and talked to my caricature. Mary peers at me strangely.
Why don't you relax? Take a bath. Watch TV. You look stressed. We'll work on this over the weekend.
She skips back to her room. Instead of watching TV, I pull myself off the floor and turn on my computer. And it's just as I feared. There's a new picture of me right beside the beard one. I'm in my gym clothes, picking the wedgie in my butt. It's so pathetic looking that I start to laugh. I've officially hit rock bottom. And on the bottom, I have a wedgie.
What's so funny?
Mary asks. And before I can switch the screen, she sees it. A younger sister just shouldn't see her big sister looking so humiliated. It's like seeing your dad cry or your favorite actress without makeup. I expect her to start sobbing, but instead her face turns red and her clenched fists pound against my desk.
London did that?
Don't worry. It's a joke.
Don't say that. You're making me really mad.
I'm a loser, all right? Your big sister is a social failure.
I cry through dinner. I cry while I take a bath. By the time I climb into bed, my eyes are swollen and I look like a raccoon. Hope London brings a camera tomorrow. The shot should be a real winner. I fall into a dreamless sleep. At about 3 in the morning, I wake to a shadow looming over me.
What are you doing, Mir?
I'm not Miri. I'm the Tooth Fairy,
the shadow says.
You're dreaming.
Weird dream, I think as I fall back asleep. When the alarm beeps me awake, I rub the crusted tears from my eyes. I'm not going back to school. I'll just hide. I pull the pillow out from under my head and cover my face with it. I lie on something scratchy. Something that smells like a boy? Raph's gray wool glove? Why is his glove under my head? I don't remember taking it out of my t-shirt drawer to cuddle with. I squeeze it. And then I look up and see Miri in the doorway.
I came up with a few plans to make you feel better, she says sheepishly.
Sweet, scratchy glove. I look back at Miri, then back at the glove. Does this mean what I think it means?
Tooth fairy my butt!
Did you do the love spell?
She gives me a shy smile.
I did.
Yes! Raph is going to like me again.
And once he likes me again, he'll always like me, even when the spell wears off.
At least, I hope so.
But I thought you were afraid of doing love spells. I was, but I couldn't stand seeing you so sad. So I got over it. Gotta get back on the broom, right?
How sweet is she?
The cloud over my head dances away, boogies away, electric Rachel's away.
I love you,
I say, and rub the glove against my cheek. Okay, it's itchy, but who cares?
Raph is going to love me again. We could be Frenching by lunchtime.
Now, remember, emotion spells are temporary, and a love spell only lasts like 3 to 4 weeks, and it takes a day or two to kick in.
Drat. Another lunch in the bathroom for me. She smiles again and holds up what looks like a homemade tennis ball, except it's made of rubber bands, glue, and aluminum foil.
Not necessarily, but you have to bounce this against London's eel.
What?
Throw it at her, let it bounce, and I promise your day will get better.
I feel a flush of excitement.
What did you do?
She tosses me the ball and winks.
You'll see.